You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. It is a Friday. Joining me on our ESPN baseball moment is the one and only Michael Musselman. And I'm telling you, it's time to pay, boys. It's time to pay. So,
what are you talking about?
Nothing. What are you talking about?
Time to pay. Well, you come on, say it's time to pay, boys.
Time to pay, boys. Yeah, like I'm I'm Anthony Scaramucci. Yeah, Priebus, you son of a bitch, you leaked my shit. Yeah, I'm gonna break it off in your ass, okay? Yeah, and Banyan, he wants to suck his own cock. That was a Freedom of Information
what?
Act. That was a Freedom of Information Act, bro. What? Yeah, that wasn't leaked. Like, your forms, when you're in the government, they get released. Where did that come from?
What are you talking about? Are you okay?
Dude, you haven't been watching the news, okay? Trust me. Right? You know that little...
I mean, it sounds like you're just talking to yourself. You're having a pretty good conversation by yourself right now.
Do you know that...
It's almost like you're, like, three people.
No. You have to... First of all... Do you know the sawed-off Italian dude that just got hired by the president to be the director of the White House communications, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't watch the news.
Okay, Scaramucci. He gets hired to be... Okay. He looks a little bit like a cross between Joe Piscopo and Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? Self-made millionaire.
Is he Sicilian or Italian?
I'm not sure. It's all the same.
Okay. No, it's not.
No, I know. The Sicilians, they think they're gangsters, okay? First of all, gangsters, okay, until very recently, they don't get manicures, okay? Maybe the head boss does, but the real gangsters don't, okay? They just go do the work. Anyway, this guy gets hired. He has a big press conference last week. He's up in front of the podium, blah, blah, blah. So yesterday, he calls this writer from the New Yorker, and he says, hey, man. I want to talk to you. And so the guy from New Yorker says, okay. So he goes off on the White House staff and Rince Priebus, who's the chief of staff, and O'Banion.
Right.
And he's quote, right? So they have his financial stuff. He says this, who leaked that to you, he asked. I said I couldn't give him that information. He responded to threatening to fire the White House, the entire White House communication staff. What I'm going to do is I will eliminate everyone in the comm team and we'll start over. He laughed. I would convince a journalist if he thought that that would convince me to reveal a source. I asked these guys not to leak anything and they can't help themselves. You're an American. So I'm asking you as an American patriot to give me a sense of who leaked it, right? So anyway,
this guy's a Sicilian?
I don't know.
I would. That's where you do the what? You know, that Sicilian should have done was to go do the. Hey, what size are your feet? What does that have to do with anything? There's so much concrete to mix. You know, and get the point across. Like, hey, that shouldn't need to happen to some of these reporters, man. These guys walk around.
So hold on. So listen. So he goes on. They'll all be fired by me, he said. I fired one guy the other day. I have three or four more people I'll fire tomorrow. I'll get to the person who leaked that to you. Rince Priebus, if you want to leak something, he'll be asked to resign very shortly. Rince is a fucking paranoid schizophrenic, a paranoiac.
Okay.
Oh.
What's wrong with that?
Labeling people? Oh, Bill Shine is coming in? Let me leak the fucking thing and see if I can cock block these people the way I cock block.
Hey, watch your language today.
Hold up. I'm just reading this. This is the story. The way I
he didn't say those
words. Yes, it's quoted in the New Yorker. The way I cock-blocked Scaramucci for 6 months. Okay. Then he says this. I called the FBI and the Department of Justice. And then the reporter says, are you serious? This is my work. I've done nothing wrong on my financial disclosures, so they're going to have to go fuck themselves. Scaramucci also told that, unlike other senior officials, he doesn't want media attention, he says. Quote, I'm not like Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own cock.
That's a Amy, quit talking like that.
It's a guy. Are you?
God, I apologize, everybody, for his behavior today.
What in God's name? Are you kidding me? This is like crazy stuff.
Like, yeah, you, sir, are a true Bulgarian.
Then he sees in print, like, did I not say that was off the record? No, you're the, like, idiot. You're, like, the idiot director of communications that doesn't know anything about a Freedom of Information Act, a disclosure statement, and being off the record. It's awesome. Right. It's, like, incredible. So, anyway, so you haven't seen that. You should read that. It's in the New Yorker.
I don't want to read that.
Okay, I want to ask you about recruiting. Okay, what are they called? Career recruiters? Lifetime recruiters? What is that?
A career recruiter, 8412.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. You know the number. Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Well, I think that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't matter.
Because I think as a recruiter, you're 8411 or something like that.
So,
an
8412.
What about them?
Yeah,
Motivations?
Why
do they do that?
Yeah, they're good recruiters, so they can be a recruiter till they retire.
Yeah, they are in recruiting for, that's it, man. They're not coming back to the fleet. A lot of them do it, Mac. You know, I went and talked to Fort Worth guys. You know, RF Dallas.
Right.
Give them a talk about leadership and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. And it was all their 8412s and some of their new guys. You know, as a recruiter, as a former recruiter, I can't come to terms of how people do that. Why would someone want to be a recruiter for the rest of their Marine Corps career? And some of those guys should, you know, do it for another 16, 18 years. That to me would be just like, oh, no way. But talking to them, a lot of them do it for other reasons, meaning, you know, they want to stay in the Marine Corps and they just know that it's in their MOS.
So hold on. Why did you have a problem?
Because the career recruiters that I was, I had, you know, when I was a recruiter, where the worst human beings were in place.
Okay, I'm not sure what you're
these
doing,
guys,
but you're cutting in.
These guys all they cared about is making contracts, putting people in, getting numbers on board, and that was it. They didn't care about the quality of the person going in. They didn't care. I mean, I remember one time my station staff in CIC, recruiter, looked at me and said, you know, why are you so concerned on, you know, their moral character? And I'm like, what? Excuse me? What freaking planet do you come from? I mean, don't you look at yourself when you get dressed? Don't you realize you're putting on a Marine Corps uniform? And then it really hit me, you know, like one of them, he used to say, I've never served with these guys, so I could care less.
No shit.
And that goes back to, again, leadership.
Right.
So, you know, leadership didn't care. Leadership just worried about numbers. Because when you put an officer at that level and all he's required to do is put numbers on the board and that's how he's judged, you know. So, yeah, it's changed since then. I mean, when I talk to these guys, they're smart. They're intellectuals. They're good Marines. A lot of them, like I said, were doing it because their MOS, the chances for promotion beyond staff sergeant are zero. You know, so they don't want to get out at 20 being a staff sergeant. And I don't blame them. You know, they're like, some kid told me, I asked him, I said, why did you do it? And he said, well, you know, sure, I was a sergeant. You know, all the other guys around me, except for my MOS, were making staff sergeant. Hell, some of them were gunnies. And when I started seeing guys with my MOS retire at 20 years as a staff sergeant? He's like, that's not going to be me. You know, I love being a Marine. I want to be in the Marine Corps as long as I can. And he was the right guy. I mean, he was perfect guy. So now, you know, he's a gunny. He's been doing it for 4 years. He's a motivator. I mean, and these guys they're good leaders. You know, they're not the guys that I had to interact with.
But they became career recruiters, yes?
Yeah, they stepped away from it.
What do you mean what do you mean they step away?
Step away from the Marine Corps.
Right.
Because, you know, they're no longer the Marine. You know, right. You're in the Marine Corps, but not really.
Not really. Right. Right. As you said.
You don't have to worry about deployments. You don't have to worry about, you know, there's a whole different other stress.
Do they stay in one spot? Can you stay in one spot?
Some of these guys can stay there until the day they get out. But a lot of them like to choose to, like, move around.
So you're frozen in rank at staff sergeant, and as long as you get good fitness reports, you'll be able to retire at 20, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, no. Career recruiters go all the way up to master guns, man.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And then they can go in the chief warrant officer program. So some of the OPSOs are chief warrant officers, which is an even smarter idea.
Hey, breaking news. Mm-hmm. David Price is headed back to the disabled list.
Yeah, whatever.
David Price is heading to the disabled list due to the return of a left elbow problem that cost him nearly 2 months at the start of the season. All right,
yeah.
So Montana Man wants to know why we only talk about baseball when the Yankees are doing better. No, I wanted to talk about baseball, but you guys refused because it was too early. And that's when the Yankees were doing good. Then the Red Sox started doing good, and then the subject came up. And we couldn't let it – you wouldn't accept, oh, no, it's too early for me to talk about it. We had to talk about it. Okay, so now
– we're done talking about it. We're done.
We're not. The Yankees are about to take back first place, the right position on the planet, and the Red Sox are going to be relegated. Okay, I have another question for you. Okay, something I didn't know.
Well, I have an answer question for you. Let's talk real quick.
Okay.
This is this question for you.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on with Rudy and his fascination about donkeys, mules, and asses right now?
Okay. I'm gonna ask you a question, and I want you to give me the answer that you've consistently given me. Animals fascinate
stupid people.
There you go. Now,
Rudy's not a stupid person, though.
Really? Then why is he
smart guy.
Then why is he fascinated?
But that's what I'm afraid of.
No, but he's not that smart. That's what you have to understand about Rudy. Okay, where did Rudy get his nickname? How did he get his nickname?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's not smart. He just tries hard like Rudy. Rudy applied 7 times to flight school before they accepted his dumb ass, right? He's that guy. He's the little engine that could. He's the, come on, if you'll just let me in, I'll study harder than everybody. I can do it. He's that guy. Okay? Right, Mike? He's not.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Metro.
Metro's
the smart guy.
Metro's top of his class.
Yeah. And so, do you think Rudy could be fascinated by animals? This thing started yesterday about donkeys and mules. And then we had to see, like, this whole rollout of pictures from Montana Man, who looks like Colonel Sanders now with this red beard he's got going. And so he puts on this whole picture display for Rudy. This is, what, the second or third time we've done the whole, what is a mule? What's the difference between a mule and a donkey? And Montana Man, for whatever reason, he loves that discussion. And he puts his whole family album in there, shares very personal, intimate details of his life. It's like, oh, my God. And in the middle of it, Mike says, we're not going to do this again.
Yeah. And then I try and change the subject. Yeah. I try and do stuff like what's the difference between mules and donkeys, or donkeys over horses? And I throw a smart-ass comment out there that they can read better. And then I throw out a coloring book called Unslightly General Rashes, a coloring book.
And then that doesn't even derail it.
Oh.
Because Rudy's right back to, so a donkey makes a mule with another mule. Who makes a donkey?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Okay, Rudy, go just match the granimals, get dressed, and then go outside, okay? You dumbass. Yeah. This goes on for hours, the whole donkey.
Play with the ball, Rudy, because it won't cut you. There's no corners on a ball.
Okay, now here's what I want. So I got emails, and I had people calling me last night about the transgender issue.
Oh, yeah. For crying out loud. Yeah. We're back there, too.
Well, I want you to...
I want to talk about donkeys and mules.
We can go back to donkeys and mules, but I want you to explain something about recruiting. So we don't screen psychologically in the Marine Corps. Yay?
Yeah, we do a little bit.
How do we screen psychologically? We have you have to answer certain questions on the health questionnaire about mental health, depression,
it's overall,
things like
that. It's overall communication. I mean, you know when there's a crazy one in front of you. He's crazy.
Right.
And you know, I used to screen for him. You know, I'd just be talking to him and go, "Oh my goodness." And then I'd bring another recruiter in and go, "Hey, just talk to this guy and see if it's just me or it's him." And then, you know, about 5 or 6 minutes into it, they come out and say, "No, it's him." Okay. Just check it.
Like Mike.
And then you look
like,
at the kid
like,
and
Mike,
like
Mike ever thought it was him to begin with. So he's just amusing himself.
Yeah. I just wanted, you know, other people to say it. So yeah, it's crazy, man.
So what would the questionnaire, what kind of questions are there about mental health on the questionnaire?
No, there was no questions really on mental health back when I was in.
Is it
just talking to them.
Oh.
Now today, I'm not sure. I can't answer it, but I know that they do. I mean, maybe they ask questions like, "Have you seen a mental health professional?" Now, the kids know that, you know, they're told that those records are sealed, which in most cases they are. You know, it's overall, you just look at this kid, you're talking to a kid, you just know,
all right,
feeling.
Your spidey sense. All right, now, but if you enlist with a previous diagnosis,
you're out.
No, I can do this. That's fraudulent enlistment, right?
Yeah.
So at some point they
if you don't disclose anything and we find out later, it's a fraudulent enlistment.
Okay. All right. Okay. I was surprised by that. Do you think that we should screen psychologically?
You got to be a slippery slope, Mac. Because I mean, what you consider crazy and what someone else considers crazy is, you know, that's crazy. You know, if that was the case, hell, I wouldn't have been in. People would have thought I was crazy.
No, you'd have been in. You'd have been in because your dad's a Marine, and you're like the majority of crazy, like most people are crazy. Like most Marines are crazy. Like, you know, like stepping on the brakes while the sheriff was looking for you, like, and you're hiding, like that's stupid crazy. That might possibly disqualify you, except that most other people in the room have very similar experience.
That's not crazy. That's just stupid. I was stupid then.
That was stupid. That was
stupid. Yeah.
That was stupid. Okay.
I can't believe I still did that.
Yeah, neither can I. So these are the kind of questions that like Rudy asked, who Mike is saying is smart. Montana man, male donkey plus female horse equals mule. Rudy, who makes the donkey? Okay. That's the kind of questions. Schwarz, two donkeys. Okay. Knowles.
Of the opposite sex, of course.
I didn't know a donkey was a separate species. I thought it was a mutt. Okay, like a mutt of what?
Like, yeah, an abnormal horse?
Yeah, an abnormal horse and a moose? Like, yeah. See what I'm saying? So Rudy is Rudy because he tried. That's how he got his name. 7 attempts to get in flight school, and he got it on the last attempt. And then he tries really hard. He's a hard trier, but not so. You can tell by the questions. The North Koreans launched another missile because all this stuff The failure to repeal Obamacare is in the news. The Scaramucci thing, talking about Banyan trying to perform acts of self-pleasure on himself. That's in the news. We have the transgender things in the news, right? And you know you have the little sawed-off little goofball with a bad haircut in North Korea going, are you shitting me? Like, we're out of the news cycle right now. What do we do? What do we do, boss? What do? Launch a missile. Do we have any? Well, we got that one pointed at Japan. Fire that son of a bitch. Well, we're really not sure. It doesn't matter. We got to get back in the news cycle. This is horrible. We're out of the news cycle. So that's going on today. What else? Yeah. What else? What's going on in Texas? Hot down in Cranberry this morning.
Yeah, it's not down here today.
What's up with that? It was 88 like at about 9 o'clock in the morning. Mike, that's not a good sign. That means you're going to triple digits, my friend.
Yeah, we're going to be at about 104, I think, today.
Ooh. Does that bring back good memories? You walk outside and like, yeah, I love the way this stuff feels.
No, I mean, 104 in Iraq was still cool.
Let me tell you, when it got to be like 100, around 100, I remember in Afghanistan walking to dinner, and it might have been with Mike, but it was normally with some of the guys that I would go to dinner with, and laughing and saying, you know what, there was a day when I thought 100 degrees was hot. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful outside.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Huh?
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous, man. And, yeah, not so much. So, but I mean, everybody's body acclimates. When you walk outside, you go, whoa, cherry boy, not real acclimated to the rigors of the hot weather anymore. I need to like man up, get outside, do a little 100-degree hiking and get myself back, get my game back. Do you say that to yourself or not?
No, not at all. No. Nope.
You just say, yeah, it's kind of hot. I need to get back inside.
Yeah, I don't like the heat. I'd rather be cold than hot. You know, you can always put more layers on. There's only so much stuff you can take off.
Right. Here's a question. Max, since you're talking about heat and you guys have been to hot places, I have a question. When Mike would be out and about bounding around, what would he wear? I've seen the weight that you guys carry. It's absolutely astounding to me that you guys can function in that stuff. I'm curious. What do you wear underneath that? So, Mike, what would you wear underneath all your shit?
The frog suit.
Explain to everybody what a frog suit is.
It's just the lightweight camouflage. You know, the trousers are lightweight. They're thinner. They're more breathable.
Right.
The shirt was probably the most comfortable because that was the sleeves are camouflaged. The chest and the back are like a tan, but it's a breathable material.
Yeah, very light, like a cotton material. Light against your skin, as opposed to the old days when you wore your utility blouse with a T-shirt underneath it and then everything on top of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff, man, that would, you'd die out there.
And then the other part of the email, is there air conditioning in those vehicles? Mike, is there air conditioning in those vehicles?
The vehicles, the newer vehicles all had AC in them.
Does it work?
It worked great. Yeah, it worked okay. You know, the beginning ones we had, the air conditioning was, you had the window down. And the air blown in, and then, but yeah, the latter ones always had AC on them. They were nice inside, but I mean, it was all relative. I mean, it was good.
The I remembered going out to from Ramadi to Al Asad, which is out by the Syrian border, and the chief of staff's. He might have been the ADC at the time. He said, hey, Mac, do you want to go to Al Asad tonight? And I said, my standard answer was, do you need me to go? Because I didn't particularly care for people that ran around and wasn't my thing to...
Combat tourism.
combat tourism. I thought, I and guys who were professionals, you look at guys doing that, and it's like, it's not what we do here, right? And so I asked my standards.
There's no reason for you to be out. Don't go out.
I said, do you need me? And he said, yeah, we need another shooter in my vehicle. And I said, okay. So I get in with Colonel, well, he's Brigadier General at the time, Joe Dunford. And I don't know, Mike, how hot would you say it would be inside those vehicles?
The old ones?
Yeah. The old up-armored Humvees.
It was always like, it seems like they were 20 degrees hotter than the outside.
And
they were really, it was so uncomfortable.
Yeah. And if you were the gunner, at least you had your head sticking out and the hot air blowing by you. But if you were just in the vehicle with the window partially down, your rifle muzzle out, staring at a sector that you're supposed to watch, that's what you did while you rode. Dunford's across from me in the back seat. He's to my left. He's so exhausted, he falls asleep, right? And it's a kind of sleep that you see your kid has, like when they're like two, and they're in their car seat, and they're just like hanging, suspended. But they're like sound asleep. Now, he's an adult. Like, that's the level of, like, exhaustion, mentally and physically, that guys go through. And I remember watching the sweat pour down his face, and it formed in a drip on his chin, and it's just like dripping. And so every once in a while, I look over, I'm like, man, that dude's tired. He probably needs to go to sleep or something like that for a while. And but it was, I don't know, about an hour ride. You went through the hit traffic circle, and where it would be an absolute miracle, right, Mike, if nobody shot an RPG at you as you went through that thing.
Yeah.
It was this place in heat. And then we went out to Al-Assad, and he had to meet with somebody, so hung out with him. But just the heat is in those vehicles was incredible, absolutely incredible. And then the ability of Marines to sleep has always absolutely positively astounded me. Anywhere, under any circumstances, you'll see guys who just lay down and go to sleep. And
yes,
I'm like in like incredible rain, make a little pile of mud or something like that, put something that is on top of it and go to sleep. And you look like, how in God's name couldn't just smoke tired? And same thing in the heat. And the hottest it gets out in the desert is between the desert floor and your knee. So, I mean, if it's 120 degrees outside, ambient temperature, it's probably 130 on the ground. And guys, like, grab their gas mask, throw it on the ground, curl up in a ball. It's amazing. They go to sleep. Were you one of those guys? Could you sleep like that?
Yeah, I could sleep anywhere, man. Sleep on a helicopter, a C-130, in a vehicle, anywhere.
Wow. It's amazing. I mean, you even see, I would swear to God, guys sleep while they're standing up. And you're looking at me like, he's asleep, man. He's standing up. You're doing a night movement or something like that, and you're just like, everybody's tired, and it's not going as planned, blah, 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 blah. And guys are standing, somebody's confused, navigating, and you're waiting to move. And you look, and you're like, that dude's asleep, standing on his feet. And you start moving, and you push him. You're like, hey, man, wake up. Well, I was asleep. So, anyway, sleeping. Okay, what do you got going on this weekend?
Hopefully not much. I really don't remember what we got going on this weekend. Maybe go see the movie Dunkirk today, this weekend.
Oh, yeah. My daughter's told me. Harry Styles is in that, man. He's from One Direction. Supposedly did a good job in it, but pretty incredible story, Dunkirk.
Crazy story. Yeah.
Yeah, they empty the every English seagoing vessel heads to Europe to go save the British Expeditionary Force. Pretty amazing.
Yep.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, 300,000 British troops were rescued to fight again.
Wow. That, can you imagine that? How many boat trips that is? That's a lot.
Yeah, and what's amazing too is if that wouldn't have happened, I mean, the British Army, they would have lost. I mean, that was the biggest, that was a huge chunk of the British Army at the time. You know, and that would have been insane to lose that many people.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I mean, then that attack in 1944 doesn't happen.
Yeah, or delayed.
Right, Normandy doesn't happen in 1944 because you don't have enough bodies. You're missing 300,000.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. You know what? I should go see that. All right, I'm going to try to see it. We'll and then we could compare notes on what the best course of action is, what the best part of the movie was. Hold on, text message. Are you bullshitting about David Price? No, I'm not bullshitting. I went to ESPN because I sent Mike a text and I said, half a game, bro. It's over. Give it up. He's like, yeah, whatever. We'll see if that happens. Hmm. So I sent Mike the standings that show they're half a game now. And when I went to get the standings, I saw the headline. I went, holy smokes. I will tell you this. David Price, who pitches for the Red Sox, he blew the Yankees away, I want to say, what, a week, 10 days ago in Boston? I mean, he was unbelievable.
Right.
I thought, wow, he's finally getting back to the dominant pitcher that he was. The dominant pitcher that he was a couple of years ago when he was in Tampa and then he went up to Detroit. He was lights out. But he's had arm problems, so that's too bad. He seems like a good dude, although he's arguing with the Boston media a lot.
Yeah.
Does that bother you, Mike, at all, or are you okay with that?
You know what? Just keep your mouth shut.
The evidently got pissed at Dennis Eckersley on a plane because Eckersley was doing the game, and pitchers, when they're not pitching, they wander up to the clubhouse and they'll watch the game on TV and have a cup of coffee, then bring the cup of coffee back down and watch the game from the bench. And so I guess he was watching the game in the clubhouse, and this reliever was getting brought in, and Eckersley saw his statistics and said, like, yuck, or something like that, something insulting. So they're on the plane, and Price, who's a big dude, he's probably like 6'6 or something like that, he looks at Eckersley and says, oh, the greatest pitcher that ever pitched. It's easy for you. So I guess we can just make fun of other people, right? And I guess Eckersley started to say something, and Price looked at me and said, get the fuck out of here. And Eckersley kept trying to talk, and I guess Price yelled at him, get out of here. And then they had another little exchange like that later in the flight. So I kind of like that stuff a little bit. I think guys start becoming broadcasters. You don't need to insult anybody. I mean, it's not an easy. Those things aren't easy. You know, just like when you hear people commentating on stuff that's going on overseas, and they're seeing something and say, well, if they could only do this, like, yeah, do you know how hard that is? You ought not to be that critical until you get in there and find out what they're dealing with. And but not that that slows anybody down. But anyway, so the Red Sox are on my radar. I'm keeping an eye on them, just so you know. So any news about them, I will make sure that you see, if that's all right.
I appreciate that.
All right. All right. Email. Mac, we heard Kim's recipe, the All-Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes, recipe for meatloaf. Is Mike a meatloaf guy? And if so, does he have a recipe? Are you a meatloaf guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? You have a recipe for meatloaf?
I do. I use the one-third rule, so.
What does that mean?
Pork, ground beef, and veal.
Ooh. Wow. That just got interesting. So a third ground beef and a third veal? What's the other third? Pork.
Veal, ground beef, and pork.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what do you throw in there with it then? After so we mix all that up, and then what?
Oh, the breadcrumbs, the egg, the seasoning, and then I do a lattice. So I take the bacon strips and I weave them together, and then I put.
Wait a minute! Was it meatloaf that you sent me the picture of?
Yeah, that was it. Yep.
Explain the lattice thing you do.
Yeah, take just weave it like a basket into a big sheet, and then line the pan with that, and then put the meat in there. So good.
The three different The one-third, one-third thing sounds intriguing. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Here's an email. Hey, I just think that transgenders should be banned. Trump will catch a lot of shit for it, but I just think they should be banned. Why even deal with it?
Yeah.
Look, that.
Why?
Yeah, I understand that, but it's the same thing with gay marriage to me. Yeah, this is the United States of America. We're supposedly different. If somebody walks into you and they and I didn't remember, Mike, I'll give you a quiz. What's the age limit now to join the military?
Sure, I don't know. What is it?
Guess.
Man, I don't know. I mean, 18 to 28 used to be the Marine Corps.
The Marine Corps closes its door at 29. Both the Army and the Navy have raised their limit to 34. The Air Force has raised theirs from 27 to 39. And the Coast Guard, which isn't really a branch of the DOD, it's a DHS event. But as of June 25th, 2014, the United States Air Force raised theirs to 39 from the age of 27. Under federal law,
really?
The oldest recruit in any military branch can be is 42, although that would be normally lawyers and specialty type people.
That doctors.
Right, that's what that gets reserved for. So, yeah, there you have it. So, pretty interesting. So you could see somebody could change genders, be done with the whole thing by the age of 25 and enlist at the age of 30. And they could be, if they walked in there full up round, what's the basis that you disqualify them? A condition that they don't have? So I'm just saying, in America, yeah. I don't know that you can do that. And then somebody heard me and said, well, you know, Mac, do you know what percentage of the population you're talking about? Yeah, I do. It's not going to be a big one, and that's as it should be. Nobody's got anything against transgender people. Nobody is hating on people with ADD. Nobody is hating on people with depression. But you can't go do the things that we do under the conditions that we do without that destroying you, honestly. And when I say destroying you, I mean that. Honestly, because I will tell you this, guys like Mike and I mean, we deal with our own issues. Mike rampaged through Kuwait, okay, on a hate-fueled diatribe against poor leadership, okay? But it was part poor leadership. It was another part Mike's demons. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's and Mike's a normal American young man. So when you come with structural issues, the only thing that's going to happen is that stuff will destroy you, and so you can't take them. So it's not a case that we don't make against other people. So anyway, Mac, I have another recruiting question for the Gunner, and that would be late in the month, even given his spidey sense, is there too much pressure on recruiters to fill that number? Or can you put your hand up and say, we could send these guys, but I'm not good with it? And is a recruiting station evaluated now on those that not only join but stick, or is it just join? All right, Mike, there you go. How about it?
The numbers are still the numbers. I mean, it's a big pressure to put on people. Yeah, that's I think is a whole another topic
what?
To actually to talk about the numbers.
Well, let me ask you this: years ago they changed how the Marine Corps changed how it does recruiting and then the recruit depots that all got consolidated. Under the same dude or woman, either or. Now, do recruiting stations get evaluated on what gets through or what reports?
What does it get? It gets evaluated on the, you know, the numbers.
That report or get through?
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to.
Got it. When you were there, were you guys just getting evaluated on what got shipped?
Numbers.
Right.
Yeah, what shipped. Shipping was king.
Right. Okay. And so I believe since they've changed that to, not only does he have, and that's a whole part of, you know, you want to see a shit bird, pull out his back in the day, pull out his SRB, find the date of his contract. Right? I guarantee
you. End of the month.
He's an end of the month guy. And so that kind of was, I think, and I'm not exactly sure, but I think that's the way that they tried to get around that was by saying, no, it's what gets through is what you'll be evaluated on, not simply what shipped. So anyway, all right. What else do you want to talk about today? What's on your mind? You're rolling around, you're in Texas, you're retired, like.
Yeah, nothing's ever on my mind. I'm not worried about anything.
Nothing's ever on your mind?
No, not like you guys.
Well, Rudy's got mules on his mind. They're as of 9:42 this morning, they're still talking about it.
Yeah. It's a big deal. He wants to get to the bottom of, you know, mules and donkeys.
Animals fascinate stupid people. Okay? So, and Rudy's at the high end of the stupid group. Certainly that. I mean, when you look at him, you wouldn't say that guy's stupid. But we probably would know. We probably would know. Yeah. He's less stupid now that he's learned about mules and hybrids and things like that. So anyway, so you don't have anything on your mind. So you get up in the morning and you're just like a little kid. You put your feet on the ground and you like go outside and you look around, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's discovery learning every day. Like, what's today going to bring me?
And so then you like get on your bike. You get on your bike and you ride over and see Buck.
My bike, yeah.
I love that.
Not in this heat.
not in this heat. How is, so when are we going to go shooting? You can't go shooting. It's too hot, right?
Yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable right now. It's not a good, not good shooting weather.
How long does this,
we're outdoors anyway.
How long does this thing last in Texas?
Well, if you talk to certain people, they say, you know, until winter comes, but really, for me, it gets bearable again, like in mid-September.
So you got a good 6 weeks of it. Well, you know what I always say: everybody got about 2 to 3 months of bad weather wherever they lived, except where Mike used to live, which is between I-5 and the coast. If you don't live there, then you could decide if you want it in heat, if you want it in heat and humidity, if you want it in cold, if you want it in rain, but you're going to get it. There's very few places in the nation that you're not going to get 60 to 90 days of pretty rough weather. And so what do you want? How do you want your bad weather? Up in North Dakota, it's colder than a frozen well digger's ass in the winter. But you can cope if you have an automatic car starter and seat heaters. That's how you cope.
Yeah.
You stay inside, and then you go watch your kids play hockey. And are there any keys to survival in Texas?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Are there any? What are the keys to survival in Texas?
Just be yourself.
Oh, okay. All right. Email. Hey, Matt. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a douche, yeah.
Does Gunner see armadillos down there? I see like cartoons in Texas, and they have armadillos all over the place. Is that something that's real or not real?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're all over the place, but yeah, they're. If you go looking for them, you'll find them.
Are they? How big is an armadillo?
Like a big cat. Okay. Like the size of a cat. They're destructible animals, dude.
They are. They're not lovable armadillos?
Yeah.
Are they mean?
They dig up stuff. No, they just dig. Little diggers.
Kind of like possums? Do you have them around the house? Do you have them around your yard?
No, we don't have them here.
In Granite?
I mean, probably do. I've never seen them.
Yeah. All right. My neighbor's a Vietnam vet. He said there's a possum that's rolling around my neighborhood, my house. Was it saw it in my front yard the other night?
Yeah.
And I don't.
See, I shoot possums. I like shooting possums.
Yeah, so do I. Would you discharge a firearm around your house to kill a vermin?
No.
Can't do that, can you?
Not where I live.
Even if you had a suppressor on that you knew would be?
No, I wouldn't. That's against the law, man. I'm not going to do that.
All right. I like that you're a law-abiding citizen, though. Makes me happy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. If you get a chance, watch the news, man. It's unbelievable.
No.
No, it's funny. Yeah, the little Sicilian, right? He doesn't know what a Freedom of Information Act is, and he's going to burn everybody down. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get tied up in that. I could care less about this little guy.
Ooh, never mind. My bad. All right, sir. First of all, thanks for the visit. Hope you have a great weekend, and then on Monday we'll talk about Dunkirk.
Yeah. I'm really gonna go see that movie this.
No, I am too. There's not that many movies like that would come out about something historical that we'd be interested. And Mike served in the UK, so I'm sure there's have you been to the White Cliffs of Dover, Mike?
Oh yeah.
Really? How long does it take to drive like east west in the UK?
East west?
Yeah.
A few hours.
Wow, that's crazy, isn't it?
Oh yeah. You can fit like three Englands, the size of England's in the state of Texas.
That's hilarious. I remember this Israeli guy telling me, we were driving from Washington, D.C. to Camp Lejeune, and he told me, he said, "Do you realize how lucky you are?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You guys are this big pig that's sitting here on this incredible continent. You have oceans that protect you. You have neighbors to your north and south." He said, "You know how many times we could have driven across Israel in the time that it's taken us to drive to North Carolina?" I said, "A lot?" He said, "Yes." He said, "If you drive east-west, we could have driven it about 20 times. If you drive north-south,
it
probably would have been about 7 or 8. I was like, wow. I said, "Yeah, we don't know what it's like to have people staring at us who hate us." And he said, "Yeah, we know. We can tell by the way you do your foreign policy." So I said, "Hey, wait a minute." Anyway. All right, man. Thanks for the visit today.
All right, I'll talk to you there.
All right, I'll keep you updated on the Red Sox. So they're looking.
Yeah, I know you will. Thank you.
They're looking at options to replace David Price. But they might be higher than the Red Sox want to pay if they want to be competitive. So Red Sox, wow. Wow. All right.
Yeah, thanks, Mac.
Not a problem. Anytime. All right, Mike. Have a good one.
Yeah, bye.
I don't know why he wanted to leave so fast. More of Auburn Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. $9.59 on a Friday. Time for us to go. Email. Mac, you seem to love torturing. No, look, they started the torture, okay? They would not talk about, by their refusal to talk about when the Yankees were doing good, and then wanting to talk about the Red Sox when the Red Sox were doing good, that's an act of aggression, okay, that I can't stand. Okay? Right. And so my philosophy with stuff like that is if you don't retaliate, then the Iraqis, or that they will make the same mistake that the Iraqis made. They believe that our restraint was weakness. Yeah, and I can't have Mike think that I'm weak, okay? That can't be the way that he and Montana Man work. So you have to retaliate. It's just the way it is. I don't like that the world's like that. It's just the way it is. Yeah, that's why. Trust me, if it turns upside down, we'll be talking about baseball again. Yeah, Red Sox style. But yeah, the Red Sox, they're having a tough day. Trade deadline is Monday. My thanks today to Kim Holmes for coming on, talking about meatloaf. You'll hear that here shortly. And also to the Gunner for coming on and talking. You know, somebody sent me an email yesterday talking about, you know, mental health screening. And then I talked to another friend of mine. He said, yeah, we don't screen. I said, well, how do we screen for depression? That's part of a general health survey. Oh, we talk about depression in there. Yeah, how do we evaluate mentally? Well, I don't know that you evaluate mentally. I think what you're looking for is certain things that obviously they work on in that questionnaire. And that's the way people get disqualified. So, anyway. Have a great weekend. If you haven't seen Dunkirk, get out and see it. Fire us off an opinion about it. And we'll talk about it on Monday. Yeah, Harry Styles. One Direction. Yeah, in fact, I'll play you a little Harry Styles right now. Maybe not. No, I will. One Direction. Yeah. Hey, trust me, man. I've got a 14-year-old daughter. Actually, she's 13. She'll be 14 in less than a month. A song called You and I. I'll tell you when Harry Styles is coming. He comes up, he sings next. Here you go. Okay, that's Harry Styles, okay. He's in, he's one of the supporting actors in Dunkirk, yeah. So, there you have it. So Mac, you're a Red Sox fan. I will never forget when I rotated back to the world, Camp Lejeune, just in time for the 1975 World Series. My beloved Cincinnati Reds defeated the Boston Red Sox. It felt so good to be back in the States, and the Reds were World Series champs. Now the Reds suck. I'm still a Reds fan. No, let me just tell you, I hate the Red Sox, okay? For those of you who don't know my history, my dad managed in Major League Baseball. Okay, he was the manager of the Red Sox, and he managed the Reds. So, to Reds man, my dad took over for Sparky Anderson in, I think, 1979. Best record in baseball, and they didn't go to the playoffs, that team. Yep. They played the We Are a Family Pirates, that team, and then they destroyed the franchise. A guy named Dick Wagner lost his mind. And so my dad got fired. So my dad goes to Boston after Cincinnati, and they lose the World Series. And then he gets vilified by Roger Clemens and Peter Gammons in Sports Illustrated. Gammons was Clemens' butt boy. So at the end of the seventh inning in Game 6 of the World Series, the Red Sox are winning 5-3. Clemens takes himself out of the game, tells my dad he's tired, he's out of gas, he's got the start of a paper cut. He said, you need to bring in Calvin, who is Calvin Schiraldi, whose son is actually pitching in the big leagues now for Seattle, I think. Anyway, they lose. The ball goes through Bill Buckner's legs. They lose the World Series, and the rest is history, right? Clemens never takes responsibility for what he did. So my dad gets drugged through the street by guys like Gammons and the rest of the minions up in Boston. So we watch that as he becomes like the village idiot. And they just drilled him for sport. It didn't matter what the truth is. And then, lo, all these years later, what do we find out? Clemens is a liar. He's a cheater. He's a perjurer. I knew that in 1987. Guy's a piece of shit. So I hate the Red Sox. I hate Boston. I root for garbage strikes, mass transit strikes, every bad thing that causes hardship, certainly not death. I root against the city of Boston.
Yeah,
I root against the whole state of Massachusetts. In fact, at one point when I was in the Marine Corps, I wanted Connecticut to invade Massachusetts. The Marine Corps would be called there to quell the Civil War, and I'd be made military governor of Massachusetts, and we'd pave the whole thing, give it to Connecticut's to store their boats for the winter. Boom. Done. Yeah, once upon a time, there used to be a city called Boston, but it's just asphalt now. Those Marines. Yeah, so, no, I'm not a Boston fan. So, after my dad gets done in baseball, I look around, I'm like, I don't have a team. Like, I've always rooted for my dad's team. Except when I was a little guy. And when I was a little guy, in the 60s, what was my team? Mike McNamara. Whose initials are those similar to? Mickey Mantle. That's right. Not Mickey Mouse. Okay, Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mouse, too, but I didn't identify Mickey Mouse. So the Yankees were my team when I was a little guy. And right about that time, Derek Jeter makes that play between home plate and first base, where he flips it to Jorge Posada, and they tag out Jason Giambi, who doesn't slide. And I thought, like, I don't really know who that kid is, but I'm a Yankee fan, man. Who am I kidding? That was awesome. And so when I was a little guy, Yankee fan. So I'm a Yankee fan now, and they're kind of fun to watch. So, no, the Reds were most of the guys that were on the 1975 team were still in Cincinnati when my dad got there, and I was in college. So I worked for the Reds a little bit. I tended bar on the Johnson party boats that are parked out behind Riverfront Stadium on the river. Yeah, that's a little bit of an exciting job in the summer. Going out on the river, tornado watches, tornadoes in the area, everybody getting drunk on the party boat. Yeah, it was a pretty interesting little part-time gig I had going there. So, yeah, Cincinnati's a great town, the Queen City. Oldest franchise in Major League Baseball. They used to have a parade, big stuff. I think they still do. But they used to play the first game every year of the season because they were the oldest franchise. I don't think they do that anymore. But anyway, it's a great town, the Queen City, with great, great, great baseball tradition. So, yeah, not a Red Sox fan. Don't ever say that again there, Cincinnati man. All right, that'll do it. Little history. Have a great weekend. Go see Dunkirk. We'll talk about it on Monday. And give the transgender thing some thought. It's the same thing, in my opinion, as this discussion that we went through as a nation relative to homosexual marriage. Like, yeah, it's not for me, okay? But the question is, two consenting adults in a nation that has a constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that doesn't say pursuit of happiness for heterosexuals. It says pursuit of happiness. So if that's what makes you happy, if that's how you want to live your life, other than that it offends somebody else morally, then what is a compelling public interest to prohibit it? So I kind of approach the issue like that. And I agree. You know, what percentage of people is that going to be that are transgender that can say, I don't suffer from any other mental health hangover from any of it, not depression, not any of that. I'm full of brow. That's a pretty small slice. So should they be allowed to serve in the American military? I don't see the basis, the compelling public interest, if they're physically full of brown and they're mentally sound, of prohibiting that. You know, again, if you can't meet that standard, then so be it. And then the question is, does the American military do enough screening for mental health? That's probably an interesting question. And then the response would be, if we screen any more, we will reduce the pool even more, and which will make it only more difficult for us to achieve our recruiting objective. And I would respond, kind of an interesting little thing. To that I would respond, yeah, but you'd save all that money on the back end dealing with these people at the VA and other places. And you might have to raise, you know, how much you pay. But you could balance that, at least I think initially, by saying we expect to see these costs reduce because we're no longer recruiting from that pool. How about that for all of a sudden getting serious? Anyway, have a great day on a Friday. Armoring Radio. Out.